produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today, California hemp bill on Governor Schwarzenegger's desk for approval. California lawmakers passed a bill Monday that would allow California's farmers to produce and provide the raw materials used to create hemp products and gain access into the $270 million a year hemp industry. The bill, AB 1147, is a bipartisan effort by Assemblyman Mark Leno, a Democrat of San Francisco, and Assemblyman Chuck DeVore, a Republican of Irvine in Orange County, that would allow California's farmers to produce hemp oil, seed, and fiber, the raw materials that are used in hemp products. Industrial hemp, marijuana's non-hallucinogenic cousin, is used to produce personal care products, food, paper, clothing, car parts, and building materials. Because state law does not differentiate between hemp and marijuana crops, farmers have been reluctant to grow hemp, fearful that their crops could be confiscated, said Assemblyman DeVore. Currently, raw hemp is imported from about 30 countries that allow the farming of hemp. According to a 2005 U.S. Congressional Resource Service report, or CRS report, quote, the United States is the only developed nation that fails to cultivate industrial hemp as an economic crop, close quote. The bill would require farmers to undergo crop testing to ensure that their variety of the cannabis plant is non-hallucinogenic, in return for assurances that their crops won't be confiscated by law enforcement officials. Despite their chemical differences and physical differences, marijuana is a bushy plant that grows up to 6 feet tall, while hemp resembles bamboo shoots and reaches heights of 16 feet. The measure was nearly defeated because lawmakers were spooked by hemp's close relationship to marijuana. Assemblyman Leno noted that by requiring hemp growers to test the THC levels in their crops, the bill would relieve law enforcement of the burden of discerning hemp from marijuana. The bill was approved on a 43-28 vote in the Assembly and now goes to Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's desk. Normal is asking California residents to contact the governor and tell him to sign AB 1147 into law. We have a link to do so at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. We have a great stash of audio for you on this Wednesday. Let's kick things off with some audio captured live at HempFest this weekend. Radical Russ Belville, Oregon Normal's webmaster, cable TV host, and podcaster himself, recorded these next pieces of audio live at the event. First, we'll hear a conversation Russ had with Chris Iverson. Then we'll hear event director Vivian McPeak with a powerful and motivating hemp cheer.
All right, we're sitting here at the THC clinic tent here at the Hemp Fest, and I'm talking with Chris Iverson, who is the co-chief petitioner of the Citizens for Safer Portland, and we got a great little civics lesson for this petition, didn't we? Here, or what? Tell everyone what happened with the petition gathering.
Well, we got two-thirds of the way there, and in doing so, we learned a lot about the petition process, primarily within the city of Portland. It's a little bit different when you try to do something within a city or a county as opposed to statewide. You have certain logistical problems, like for people who are thinking they live within the zone or the district, signing it, and they really aren't.
We got a lot of Multnomah County people who thought they lived in Portland,
right,
when they live in unincorporated Multnomah.
Right, and part of the problem was is at the very beginning of our planning, we had originally decided to do a Multnomah County initiative, which required only 17,000 ballot signatures, not even 17,000.
Wow.
We ended up getting over that ballot, so... You know, combine the fact that we had to cross off a lot of Portland addresses that are still in Multnomah County, and, you know, basically we lost a few thousand signatures, 4,500 to be exact, that the city threw away because of certain circulator errors. You combine all that together, you know, that's the reason we lost the ballot. We would have made the county ballot, definitely an easier bar, but we decided not to because we felt like if any city within the county had challenged the law once it took effect, then they could have had the entire law overturned.
Oh, I see.
And that was a legal decision that was made by our lawyers. So
now this this circulator error thing, this is the one where if the guy signed it, you know, like, for example, if I signed it John R. Belville on my voter reg, but then I signed the petition John Belville or J. Belville, there's a problem. Is that kind of what's going on here?
Yes. The signature has to be an exact match of the voter registration card if they find it in the voter registration database.
Wow.
And we lost over 2,000 signatures because of two circulators in particular that had signed a shorthand version of their signature. And when the city and county went to validate against the voter registration database, they found the longhand signature in there.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, when you register your automobile or you get your license in Oregon, they have a motor voter program, so you sign right there. You're going to take more time. You're going to sign your full name.
Sure.
You know, that's the one most people use on official and legal documents. But when you're signing hundreds and hundreds of sheets, you don't want to sign your full name all the time.
Right.
People use their initials. They use a shortened version of their name. They do it faster so it looks different.
Sure.
People sign their signature in, you know, 10, 20 different ways depending on where they're at and what situation.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever signed two pieces of paper the same twice
exactly.
in my life.
Whether you're paying on a credit card or with a check or you're signing, you know, a W-4 or if you're, you know, signing a bank statement or a bank document, you know, the signature could look different. So we had a problem with that.
Yeah.
All in all, we lost 12,500 signatures.
Wow.
And we missed our goal by 5,000 in the first place. So that was what really hurt us. If we had, you know, not lost those signatures and made our goal, we easily would have made the ballot and then some.
So for, are we going for 07 or 08, maybe a Multnomah County thing, or what's the future look like?
Well, we're not sure. We definitely know we're going to proceed forward. We may have lost one of the battles, but the war rages on, and we have a lot of work to do, and, you know, it very likely will transition into a statewide effort, possibly for 08, and right now we're all working within the 07 state legislature, trying to come up with a bill that we can build a coalition around, that we can get enough support around, move that bill forward, improve the medical marijuana laws. I think that should be the focus for 07. I don't necessarily think the focus should be on any initiative process.
Yeah.
I think we can get a lot done there with our medical marijuana law, even get dispensaries in it, some form of patient co-op, what have you, so patients can get medicine.
Yes.
And then move on to whether it's tax and regulate or a low priority model, do it either statewide or in a, you know, a handful of different cities in Oregon where we think we can win.
From HempFest in Seattle, recorded by Russ Belville of Oregon Normal. We have links to Oregon Normal and their very own podcast up at normalaudiostash.com. Next up today, let's hear some pod-safe music from podshow.com. Here's The Undercover Hippie.
I don't know what's been going on, but I know that it feels so wrong, yeah, yeah. I don't know what's been going on, but I know that it feels so wrong, yeah, yeah. We got to find a solution, yeah. We got to find a solution, yeah, yeah. There are many ways of killing days, and time to rhyme is mine, but I lose my mind when I'm working 9 to 5. I strive to keep my mind alive with thoughts of ways to make the days blur into a haze, struggling through a maze of many ways, thinking of summer days and summer haze, and thinking of all the lazy ways I used to spend my days back in the days when I was raised. As I lie getting high on my back in the maze, I said a lie, getting high on my back in the maze. We got to find a solution, yeah. We got to find a solution, yeah, yeah. As well as lazy days, there were crazy days and easy ways to ease the grace I used to praise. The Lord for giving us the liberty cap, cause if it wasn't for that, the winter would have been crap. We all just used to wrap ourselves in layers of clothes and go and pick 1,000, being careful with some good shows. And so we go back to my house, make a mushroom brew. Grima says you're finished cause it tastes like spew. And that was when the fun would begin, the giggling, the figuring, the bigger things that always baffle bigger men. And daring, and our answers seem to all make sense, even when the questions got a little intense. And then we'd have a vision and we'd come to a decision, and we'd set off into nowhere on some fucked up kind of mission. Yeah, we'd end up wishing that we didn't have to come down around on the ground in some imaginary compound. Hearing chicken heard you say, what the fuck was that? When we went to look, we found that it was just a cat. But nowadays those days are gone and it's not the same, except for Glastonbury and Chip, when everyone just goes insane. But I think my brain's probably quite pleased, I've eased up. Otherwise my frame of mind eventually would have freezed up, seized up. So nowadays I just breathe up, flexing all the muscles in my brain till I speed up. And when I freed up all the power that I can, my overflow will grow enough to overthrow the Taliban. I'm a man with a mission, gonna make a new addition to the old traditional verbal communication. I'll be dishing out my lyrics to the whole entire nation like a radio station. So if you're patient and just listen as I'm dishing out nutrition to the wishing coalition. Gonna get myself in a position where people just have to listen to my idol dissing with that kind of blind superstition. You be wishing you never challenged me. I'm like an analogy for analogy to your very reality. While you be itching, I'll be scratching it up and mixing and matching it up until I'm walking up with a cup. When I'm walking out laughing, cause I got the last laughing while you were still buffing in the bathroom, cause you drank too much too soon. And then you just swoon like a pussy on the dance floor, like I pay me in advance for. You never take a chance or a stance for anything that you believe in. No, you're just deceiving yourself if you think you'll be leaving this place. You're a disgrace, yeah. So we got to find a solution, yeah. We got to find a solution, yeah, yeah. We got to find a solution, yeah. We got to find a solution, yeah, 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 yeah. What's been going on? No, I don't, but I know, but I know, I know, I know it feels so wrong, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know what's been going on, but I know, I know, I know it feels so wrong, yeah. We got to find a solution, yeah. I said, We got to find a solution, yeah, yeah. We got to find a solution, yeah. We got to find a solution, my friend. If that's the way it's gonna end up in the end.
That was The Undercover Hippie, independent music found up at podshow.com. We have links at normalaudiostash.com. Now it's time to check in with our weekly Cannabis in Action segment. Dr. Mitch Earlywine is author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence, and serves on Normal's advisory board. Dr. Earlywine joins us each Wednesday here on the Audio Stash, and we have a separate archive of our conversations at normalaudiostash.com. Mitch is also Associate Professor of Psychology at State University of New York, and over the next few weeks, we'll be discussing issues that directly relate to all of you out there headed back to campus this fall. Mitch, welcome back to the program today.
Thanks for having me back, Chris.
Thanks again for joining us today. Mitch, let's talk about some of the issues that could particularly impact freshmen at America's college campuses. We're hearing a lot about the first-year weight gain commonly reported among freshmen. What's happening there for students?
Unfortunately, there's a national trend toward increasing rate for, you know, everybody in the United States, and I think this is part of that. But for years now, there's been this reputation for the freshman 15, where students come on campus, they end up eating in a dormitory that's often filled with carbohydrate-rich foods and the kinds of foods that they're not necessarily accustomed to eating. And people are really worried about this because this kind of sets a pattern that can end up being lifelong. If you, you know, gain weight early in life, it's very hard to take it off and keep it off. I think there are some wonderful steps that people can take in order to avoid this, and it's often as simple as just walking more. And on big campuses, that can be very easily done. And understanding, again, that eating is not a competitive sport. There's no need to go into the big dormitory cafeteria and say, I can eat more than this person, when, in fact, you know, that's not what's important. Eat to live rather than live to eat.
Also, Mitch, although the weight issue has received a lot of attention, something we've discussed on the program before, you know, what about binge drinking? Is this something that only comes up during spring break, or is this a problem at the beginning weeks of school as well?
Unfortunately, binge drinking is a problem when kids first arrive to school, particularly folks who haven't lived on their own before seem to see this as a big opportunity to do everything they didn't get to do when they were living with mom and dad. And unfortunately, they're not as experienced with alcohol as maybe their older peers are, and so they don't understand their limits. I think if everybody goes in with the idea that if you want to use alcohol and you're underage, guess what, that's illegal, but also to understand that you want to pace yourself, there's no need to play drinking games, there's no need to drink alcohol in a straight condition when you can always have a mixer, and that if you, you know, want to have alcohol, it's something to enjoy, not some kind of sport that you have to consume the most or be in any kind of competition about. And in truth, when you do big polls of national drinking habits, quite a few students don't drink at all, and those who do often drink only once or twice a week. So this perception that, oh, gee, everybody else is doing it and they're doing it in excess can really be distorted. So there's no need to think, oh, everybody's drinking all the time, I have to drink all the time too, because in fact, most people either don't drink at all or drink only once in a while.
You know, something I read this week in mainstream media coverage of the return to campuses said that many first-year college students become depressed. You know, how does a young person fight depression, especially if they're, say, alone on a big campus?
I think the key for that is to intervene early. So a lot of times, you're in a new environment and you don't know what you want to do and you think, well, I'm at school, I'm going to have to really buckle down and study all the time. In fact, studying all the time is great, but you have to have a break. You have to schedule fun things into your life every single day. Keep up with your exercise, which also seems to battle depression very, very well. If you're in a northern or a cold climate where there's not a lot of sunlight, you might consider buying one of those lamps that provides a certain amount of sunlight wavelength for you to keep depression at bay. And then all in all, it's a matter of just talking with your friends, making sure you stay connected with
your folks back at home. And if you do feel like, hey, I'm starting to go into this really depressive state, go to the mental health center on campus early. Don't wait until you're ready to slit your wrists. Instead, go in as soon as you're feeling sad more often than not and say, I gotta intervene now. I'm going to prevent this from getting any worse. And then odds are you won't have to drop out. You won't have to leave school. You'll form a good relationship with a therapist and end up doing very well.
Also, Mitch, when we talk about these health impacts like weight and drinking, you know, is the human body and brain, for that matter, fully formed at age 18? Are we physically done developing?
Yes, 18 is mature, but it's not the end of the maturation process. So, you know, I really want to honor all the freshmen who've achieved as much as they have and grown as much as they have, but it is true that their brains are still very much developing, and, you know, they're learning new skills just like anybody else at any age, and I think that in some ways alcohol can really interfere with that. If you find that you're, you know, the only way you can make friends is through drinking, or the only way you can have fun is through drinking, it's time to learn some new skills. It's time to learn some new ways to do those things. And in fact, that's what college is for, learning new things. This is a big opportunity to do that. By all means, take advantage.
Now, Mitch, let's talk about cannabis. Many people say the only time they smoked pot was in college, but there are some reports out there that suggest that cannabis may have a different effect on the teenage brain. So if you smoke cannabis at age 18, is it having a different effect on your brain than, say, someone 4 or 5 years older?
We don't have the data on right there at 18 itself, but folks who start using cannabis heavily before age 18 do seem to have some different reactions from folks who start later in life. I'll probably get booed off the classroom stage if I said this in certain settings, but the truth is there are a couple of studies to suggest that people who start smoking cannabis too soon end up not developing the same level of intelligence, not getting some of the same brain structure results and development that folks who use cannabis but started later in life end up having. It's just a fact of life. I wish it weren't the case, but in fact, it really is.
So the safest route here would be to wait until you're 21, just like drinking.
I hate to say it. I hate to sound like such a paternalistic fool, but waiting till you're 21 is a really good idea when it comes to cannabis, alcohol, or really any psychoactive.
And Mitch, you touched on this before, that many students really don't binge drink, that they may not even drink at all. So the mainstream media coverage and impression of campus life with sort of constant drinking, football games and stuff like this, I'm sure it exists, but it's not the regular everyday college life. It's not the norm. So let me ask you, what do you see as campus life being right there at such a large school?
In fact, now I'm at a school that was the number one party school of 2004, and nobody likes that reputation here. It's such a, you know, misrepresentation of the folks I see. I teach a class on drugs and human behavior. You would think I would have the biggest collection of burnouts in the world. In fact, it's not the case at all. Many folks are interested in drugs, interested in alcohol, have curiosities about these things, but that doesn't mean they have to be problem users. So I find, yeah, my students drink about once or twice a week. They never drink more than about 3 or 4 drinks at a time. They tend to do it in a setting so that they don't have to drive, and they're actually very, very careful. And it's the exceptions who end up on the news, the ones who end up wrecking cars or wrecking their lives, who end up making great sound bites, but they are by far and away less common than the folks who can drink alcohol and not have any negative consequences.
Dr. Mitch Earlywine is Associate Professor of Psychology at State University of New York and author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence. Mitch, thanks again for joining us today, and I look forward to our conversation next week.
Thanks so much.
We have links to Dr. Earlywine's book and a separate archive of our conversations at normalaudiostash.com.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Let's round out our Wednesday show here with a little satire found up at podshow.com. Little satire I personally identify with. Here's Stucky and Murray.
When I look at her, everything's all right. I've never met a love like this in all my life. And I'll tell everybody, because it's true, I really love, I love a Jew. She doesn't go to church or look up to a steeple. How can I go wrong dating one of the chosen people? She's got a cute punim.
That's Yiddish.
And a really nice bod. She doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I'm not the type of guy gonna try and persuade her, because I really enjoy going to the Passover Seder, and I love a Jew. She loves Hava Nagila and dancing the Hora. I tend to read a Bible, but she's a fan of the Torah
and menorahs.
But we blend so well, man, you really would be surprised. I may not be a Jew, but I am circumcised.
And I can prove that.
The only problem is when I spend every penny I earn on all eight of her Hanukkah gifts, but I only one in return. But I love a Jew. Her matzah ball soup is the best, without a doubt. There's something about gefilte fish that really kind of freaks me out. But I know she's the one that I'm gonna marry. Oh, even though she can't eat pork and she shouldn't mix meat with dairy. Oh, I've even come to learn that when she says oy vey, it can still mean that everything's gonna be okay. Oh, yes, I do. And she says things like Baruchata Adonai Eloheinu. I don't know what that means. No, I don't speak Hebrew.
That was Stucky and Murray with a little piece of satire we found up at podshow.com. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The Podcasting Technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.